And we're going to be reading chapter 2, starting with verse 12. And we're going to go partway through chapter 3. It says, "You too, O Cushites, will be slain by my sword. He will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, leaving Nineveh utterly desolate and dry as the desert. Flocks and herds will lie down there. Creatures of every kind, the desert owl and the screech owl, will roost on her columns. Their calls will echo through the windows. Rubble will be in the doorways. The beams of cedar will be exposed. This is the carefree city that lived in safety. She said to herself, 'I am, and there is none besides me.' What a ruin she has become, a lair for wild beasts. All who pass by her scoff and shake their fists. Woe to the city of oppressors." Just let me pause here. This is speaking about Jerusalem here. "Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. She obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to God. Her officials are roaring lions. Her rules are evening wolves, who leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are arrogant. They are treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary. They do violence to the law. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning he dispenses his justice, and every new day he does not fail. Yet the unrighteous know no shame. I have cut off nations, their strongholds are demolished. I have left their streets deserted, with no one passing through. Their cities are destroyed. No one will be left, no one at all. I said to the city, 'Surely you will fear me and accept correction, that her dwelling would not be cut off, nor all my punishments come upon her.' But they were still eager to act corruptly in all they did." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. And we seek your Holy Spirit. We seek your peace and your presence here. And most of all, Lord, we seek your Holy Spirit to speak to us and to give us understanding, to show us how to apply your word fresh and new to our lives each and every day. How to apply this word, which you spoke through the prophet Zephaniah, to our lives today. Lord, reveal to us the encouragement that you have there for us, the correction you have there for us, and even the blessing. Lord, we pray that your presence would be manifest here this morning. We pray that each person here would be encouraged and blessed by your word. We ask that your name would be lifted up and glorified. And Lord, we give you this time. We give you ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you're probably going, "Pastor, this just really doesn't sound like much of a word of encouragement this morning." You know, and you kind of talked a little bit about this last couple weeks. The Zephaniah guy, he's kind of like raining on my parade here. All this bad stuff happening. We got these words of judgment coming here and there. Yeah, there's a lot of word of judgment coming. There is, however, hope woven in there. If you look and you see it, if you listen closely to what is said and to what is not said. First off, we see that the Lord is saying that judgment is coming to everybody. Nobody's being left out. We've got Cush, which is some country down in Africa. We've got Assyria, which is the big powerhouse of the day, being taken out. We've got Jerusalem being spoken of here. And we're told that everybody's going to be facing destruction. Oh, goody. God is not discriminating. He's going to wipe us all out. This is your good news, Pastor? No. This is the Lord seeking to bring correction to us. Correction is given so that you will change. So that your past mistakes can be wiped away and you can do something different. If you have a course correction, you actually change direction. If you use some whiteout and you use this liquid correction fluid on your paper, you cover over what was there and you write something new. And the old is gone and there's something brand new there. Well, the blood of Christ is our correction fluid. The correction fluid, which is the Lord has made available to the world to cover over those mistakes that we've made in our lives, the way we act, is indeed the very blood of Christ. That's our correction fluid. Now we need to take that correction fluid and apply it to our lives. And then we need to live our lives according to God's direction. Because it does no good to correct a spot and then make the same error all over again, does it? Discipline, correction. Its purpose is to show somebody that they're doing something wrong for the purpose of changing their direction, changing their relationship, so that they will not do that which is harmful to them. That's why God is doing this. And He's telling them, I'm going to bring destruction. Why? Because He wants to? Because it makes Him feel powerful to bring destruction? No. He's going to bring destruction because the people of the world are in rebellion. They are unrighteous. And it's not just those who maybe can give some sort of excuse. I really didn't hear the word. Those in Cush. But here we have those in Nineveh who actually came against God's people. And worse yet, we have those who are leaders in Jerusalem who are... Her prophets are arrogant. Her officials are roaring lions. The rulers are evening wolves. You know, these are treacherous men. The priests profane the sanctuary. They do violence to the law. Do violence to the law? God can't let that continue. He has to cause it to stop. Somewhere along the line, He's got to stop it. And He's giving His warning through His prophet, saying, stop, or else. How many here have dealt with a young child? If you tell the child, do it or else, and the or else never happens, what happens with the child's behavior? Right? God has to bring discipline to show that, yes, I am going to bring it. So He brings a taste. A little bit to start with. He's saying it's going to get worse. But He brings enough of it so that we, His children, will understand and believe Him. Oh, He really means it. This is the point of Zephaniah's prophecy, of what Zephaniah is saying, is to get our attention so that we understand. You know, He really means this. He has done this and this and this, and He's going to do more. What we've seen happen already, oh, that's nothing compared to what's going to happen. Did you have those conversations with your father as a child? I know I did. You know that spanking you get? That's absolutely nothing compared to if you don't clean up your act. Okay. I believed him. And guess what? I cleaned up my act. This is God, the loving God, the Creator God, our Father in heaven, who is seeking to bring correction. But what are we doing? We're running around on this earth like willful children, spoiled, willful, disobedient. Okay, I could probably use a few more adjectives, but you're probably already at the idea, right? Okay. Not good kids. That's us. That's His people. That's the people of the world. Sometimes it crawls into the church. We see this. Again, he's talking about how it's even permeated the temple with the priests and the leaders. What's going on there? So we need to guard against that in our personal lives. We need to guard against it in the life of our church. That we don't have this judgment coming down on us. Now we do have the promise. I know what's in here. I said to the city, surely you will fear me and accept correction. Then her dwelling would not be cut off, nor all my punishments come upon her. See, if we change, if we accept correction, then we're not going to be cut off. Then all the punishments will not come again. Whoa, what's this? Not all the punishments. Does that mean that we still might get a little splash? Yeah, we're still going to have to face some of our actions that we face here on earth for different actions, but we don't have that eternal judgment. We're not going to be cut off. Does it mean that we won't face difficulties or problems? No. Oh, I've turned to Jesus. My life no longer has any problems or any troubles. Wrong. That's not what it's being said here. Saying, but if I turn and follow God, then I will not be cut off. We're talking eternity here. Now, this part that we call life is rather short. You know, I don't know anybody personally who's gone over 105. I've heard of people going 113. Now, we can look at the Bible, we see people get lighter, but in recent history, the last couple hundred years, we seem to be topping out in the early hundreds. And that's few and far between. Most of us don't make it much past 70. Now there's a few of you here who have. How many friends of your friends are no longer here? People that you grew up with. We just don't live that long. It's short. I don't know about you, but I cannot believe I have been here 11 years. I've been here in this church 11 years. I'm like, I just got here. It's already been 11 years. Time goes quickly, this earthly time. But compared to eternity, what we have here is nothing. The people who we knew years ago, if they know Jesus, we'll get to see Him again. Of course, if we don't know Jesus and they didn't know Jesus, we might see Him again too. I don't know, but I don't really want to go there. What I want to do is go and be with my Lord. I don't want to be cut off. And the purpose of these speaking and telling us, prophesying about this destruction is so that we will change, so that we will accept correction. But we're kind of a stiff-necked group. We all kind of want to do things our own way. Anybody here ever had somebody come and give you correction and get mad about it? Yeah. We don't like it. Somebody tells me I'm wrong. First off, I tell them I'm not wrong. That they must be wrong to think that I'm wrong. Then I maybe think about it, and usually I see that, okay, they were right. I blew it. Then I got to go, and now I got two wrongs I got to deal with. Because first, I didn't accept their correction very graciously. And then I've got the correction that I got to deal with in the first place. Well, that's not easy for us to do with. So most of us, as a general rule, we just don't bother with either correction. Okay, I might have been wrong, but whatever. I'll just ignore it. Pretend it'll go away. How many of us use that methodology of dealing with problems in our lives? If I ignore it, it'll go away. Ever tried that one? Yeah, I've done that. Guess what? It doesn't work. We can ignore God's word. It's not going to go away. God's word is here to encourage us to accept the correction so that we won't be cut off. And it's not just for people of Israel. Why is he speaking to Cush? Why is he speaking to the Assyrians? Why is he speaking to these other groups? If not also to give them warning, to give us warning. When we write our laws, we put the consequences for breaking those laws into the law itself. That way, it's understood, if I break this law, this is what I'm going to do. This is what will happen to me. Well, the consequence is written in God's law. He tells us, this is my law. Love one another. Don't worship anybody else. Oh, did you see Nineveh back there? You know, the city said, I am. Nobody else is like, yeah. That's how God identifies himself as the I am. God, they were saying, you know, we're God. Our society does that today. We run around saying that we're God. We have that thought in our society, in our world, in our culture. Hopefully not within us, within this body, we don't. But it's certainly a trap that we can fall into. We need correction. We need to accept it. God provides a means for us to do so. He just doesn't tell us, here's the penalty for breaking the law. He is gracious and merciful. He now comes and tells us that if we do break the law, and breaking his law has one penalty, and one penalty is primary is that we will be cut off from him. Now, if we're cut off from him, that means that we will face an eternity without God. And some say, well, that's fine. I don't care about God. You really don't understand what you're saying when you say that. We're made to be in relationship with God. There's nothing worse than for us to be outside of relationship with him. But he has provided a means that even if we've broken the law, to correct it. It's not just correct your behavior so that you don't break the law again, but he has correction fluid which will cover over those laws which we've already broken. It's the blood of Christ. Divine correction fluid. And to do that, to receive and use that correction fluid, we just need to receive Jesus. Not as our tool to cover over, but as His tools. We say, yes, I will be yours. You may do with me as you will. You will be my Lord. And by receiving Him as our Lord, He also becomes our Savior. And then He covers over divinely with His blood our sin. And if we follow Him, He corrects our behavior so that we stop breaking God's law and we stop fighting against Him and become obedient unto His will. Instead of doing our thing, we do God's thing with our life. This is why we have the prophet Zephaniah spouting doom and gloom, to get our attention. And you'll notice he just doesn't have one paragraph. Why? We're slow learners. We really need to have our nose rubbed in it to really get our attention. At least I do. So you know, it's probably all my fault. You guys are probably much quicker learners than I am. But I really need God to show me before I really catch it. Bruce, here's your problem. This is what you did right there. You see it? See how you did that wrong? Now look at that. Do you understand? You see what? It takes a while before I go, oh, okay, yeah, I get it now. I really need to be shown. This is God is doing in His Word. He's showing us, this is what you do. This is what you're doing that's not according to my will. Don't do that. But instead, accept correction. Accept Jesus. See, God just doesn't throw out the consequence of the law and say, this is what you're going to face. But He also throws out the way for us to overcome that consequence. See, that's His love, His mercy, and His grace. Yes, He is righteous. This judgment will come. But it is indeed tempered with His love, His mercy, His grace. It's available for all who will receive it, all who will accept it, all who will indeed accept His correction. Let us be ones who accept His correction in every aspect of our lives, every day. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You have provided the means to correct our sins. Lord, that You have warned us of where we've gone astray and shown us that there is a consequence. Lord, You've told us ahead of time so that we just don't rush madly off over the edge to destruction. But hopefully we will heed Your warning and abide by Your will and accept Your mercy and grace and accept Your love by accepting Your correction. So, Lord, we seek to live our lives by following You, by being Yours to use however You would use us, that we would no longer go forward thinking that we're God, that we're in charge, but instead we might humbly submit to Your will and Your ways, that You will cover over our sin and lead us through lives that are godly and God-honoring and bring glory to Your name. And that we might spend eternity with You. Lord, that You would not cut us off, but that instead You would receive us and reunite us into right relationship with You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand as we close, and we'll be singing Our God Reigns.